Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
But you have to understand something. Joshua is a model of our Lord Jesus. We can be courageous when we are in obedience to the Word. Remember Zechariah 4 verse 6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." Here's how you get your courage, by the way. You don't reach into your own resume or just kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Come on, have more courage. Here's how we get it. "For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous." Yeah, remember, Lord, you told me that in the previous verse. "That you may observe," or that is to say, be obedient, "and do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." We'll just circle that. It doesn't say, "will not depart from your pocket or your coffee table. Do not depart from your desktop." From your what, everybody? "But you shall meditate." Now, in the New Testament Greek, the word for meditate is an interesting word, and it is used of the same instance when the cow chews his cud over and over. So meditate means to muse, and it does mean that. But here in Hebrew, this word might be more accurately translated, "but you shall mutter." You shall mutter it. What? God's word. You shall mutter God's word. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the word." It is saying God's word a lot. Mutter it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written within it. "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." That's hallmarks of the Spirit-filled life. Here's an example. Hold your finger. Join me in Ephesians. Let's go here kind of quickly because it's kind of cool. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 18. "Be not drunk with wine, which is dissipation or waste, but be filled with the" what, everybody? "The Spirit." Notice capital S, the Holy Spirit. "Speaking." What does the word "speaking" mean? Mutter. "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns." Where do you get psalms and hymns? From what book? The Bible. "Singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for" how many things? "All things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And when we do, principle of the promised land, the Spirit-filled life and the biblical life are very closely associated. Jesus said he wanted to have a Spirit-filled service, and some of our backgrounds were all, that means we're going to break a sweat. But Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." So technically speaking, to have a spirit-filled service could also be rendered, have a biblical service. It seems that in the Old Testament and New Testament, the Holy Spirit in Noah's situation, remember the ark had come to rest on Mount Ararat. The waters of judgment had receded, and he sends out the raven, which is an unclean bird. That's a bird of carrion. It looks for stuff to eat, flesh to eat. He never came back. Inference, he might have starved to death. Do you remember the next bird? It was a dove. Dove typically is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And the dove came back because it had no place to land, and it fluttered around somehow where Noah was. And there was the dove, as it were, flying around. Noah reached out and drew the dove in. So, I think there's a picture there. The Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended on our Lord Jesus in the form of a dove when he got baptized, not for the remission of sin, but the baptism of commissioning and being filled with the Spirit. And he was filled in the Spirit in an obvious, visible way, in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit, in my estimation, is kind of circling around. Because look at our imagery here in the Promised Land with Joshua. I've given you 30,000 square miles. Where do you want to go? We're going to see here tonight, three tribes, Reuben, Gad, and a portion of Manasseh, said, we don't even want to go into the Promised Land. We want to stay right here. The Holy Spirit is often circling, so to speak. He sort of only goes where he's invited, if you will. And like visually by Noah, the Bible says he drew in Genesis 8, he drew in the dove to himself. Hey, Harvest, is the Holy Spirit sort of circling around this church? Is he circling around some of our own hearts? And we could say, hey, you know, if the Holy Spirit wants to fill me, that's cool. I mean, I'll go there if he wants to. I'm available. And then we do very little to invite him in, let alone WWPF. But when we do, please come, Holy Spirit. He does. Fascinating idea. When we are constantly a people of the book, God's word and the Spirit-filled life are inexorably connected. If we're speaking to each other in psalms and hymns, verse 21, look what else we'll be doing. We'll be submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Look what else is going to be happening. Verse 22, wives will be supporting their husbands. Verse 25, husbands will be loving their wives like Christ loved the church. Chapter 6, verse 1, children will be obeying their parents. Skip down to verse number 5, bondservants, or if you will, employees, they're going to be obedient to their employers and not man-pleasers. Something powerful happens when we, at any time in our day, stop for a moment and say, Holy Spirit, come. You do the driving. I think I wrestled the steering wheel away from you again. Back to Joshua. Verse number 8 to get a running start. This book of the law shall not depart from your what, everybody? Mouth. Are we in the word a lot? Is the word in us and is the word coming out and through us? You shall mutter it, meditate in it day and night. You may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The Spirit-filled people and Spirit-filled churches are, I believe, definitely centered around God's Word. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. At the very beginning of his ministry, Joshua was told, meditate, mutter the Word constantly. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days We're going to cross over this Jordan to go into and to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. 3 days would be awesome. Some of us, we waited 3 months. Some of us, we waited 3 years. Some are even still waiting. When can we go over, you guys, the Spirit-filled life? Anytime we ask. Verse 12. And now to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, you got to say this. Now the backstory here is in the book of Numbers, chapter 32. These three tribes, before they got into the promised land, they were sort of holed up on the east side of the Jordan. And it says in Numbers chapter 32 that the Gadites and the Reubenites had lots and lots of cattle and livestock. And because it's kind of a higher plains situation, it's pretty suitable for grazing. So the leaders of Reuben and Gad and a couple guys from the tribe of Manasseh, they said, "Hey, Mo, we don't want to go into the promised land. Can we just set up shop here?" And Moses says, "What are you doing? You know, this is exactly what happened to your forefathers. They didn't want to go into the promised land either. And God was pretty upset with them. Here's what we'll do. If you seriously want to stay on the eastern part of the Jordan, that's your business." And then he says in Numbers 32, "And God will give you rest. But when it comes time to get into the promised land, you have to send your military, your men of valor and men of war." And they said, "We promise." Promise? We promise. So now verse 12, here we are all these years later. "And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land," right in your margin, "east of Jordan." Remember the promised land principle? The promised land is all yours. However, it's up to you how far you want to go. These three tribes says, "We don't even want to set foot in there." And you know what God said to them? "That's okay. I'll give you rest there." Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Who are the called? Romans 8, 29 tells us. The predestined, if you will, the believers in Jesus Christ. They're called, remember, when? From the foundation of the world, God knew who would choose him and who would not. And those that would choose him, before he built one molecule, he said, "You are predestined." That's pretty cool. Jesus said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." That's the Greek word electos. You might have heard a little something about election coming up. Electos, picked for service and mission. Many people are called. A lot of people get saved. But few people, Jesus says, "I choose you for this mission." What is he saying? I love everybody. Those that have given their heart and mind to me, I have given them the gift of salvation. But many are not taking the next step. "I am all yours, Lord." That's where people kind of get stingy. And though they are predestined, though they are called, God says, "I can't use you because you're not really willing to do all that I say. I don't love you any less. I just can't use you." Modeled by these three tribes. Let's see what happens. Verse 14. "Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land east of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed all your mighty men of valor to help them." Remember, that's what you promised. "Until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them, then you can return to your land east of the Jordan, outside of the promised land, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise, east of the Jordan, outside of the promised land. They were comfortable. What region is that? If you go to the Sea of Galilee, on the eastern side of those slopes is where the tribe of Gad settled. How many of you remember when Jesus walked on water, saved the guys, and then they landed in a place where there was a cemetery, and a guy came out demon-possessed with 6,000 demons? You remember that? That was at the area called Gadara. This region. You don't want to go in the promised land? No, I don't want to go there because I'm quite comfortable here. Are you sure? No, really, I'll be fine outside of the promised land. God will say to you, okay. But what happened there? You remember what the main industry of Gadara was? The pig industry. Because they served bacon to the area of what was called the Decapolis. And that was one of the weird things about that healing. When Jesus cast the demons out of the guy at Gadara, they said, "We know who you are, Son of God. It's not our turn to go to the Abuso. Yeah, what are you doing here? Can we go into the..." And most of us go, "Well, that's weird." And you know the story. Then they scramble down the hill and they drowned in the eastern shores of the Sea of Galilee. And my favorite joke, and that's your first instance of deviled ham. But if you ever wondered, what was that story about? That was the area of the tribe of Gad, this area we're looking at right now. They said, "I don't want to go to the promised land." And God said, "You can do it if you want." And they began to live for the pig industry. To serve, if you will, and to make profit off of the non-Jewish people around them. And they were plagued by pigs, and they were plagued by the demonic that had little constraint. Do you see the picture with me? You don't have to go to the promised land. And God says, "If you don't want to go, I'm not going to force you. I still love you. But if you want to settle east of the Jordan like Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, you need to know something." Practically all, Israel's enemies, when they attacked Israel, guess what region they attacked Israel from? The east. They mowed right through the regions of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Whenever Israel's enemies were on a roll, they rolled right through this region. Interesting. So they answered Joshua saying, "All that you command, this we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things." Is that accurate, by the way? If you read the story in Numbers 32, they did not heed Moses. Moses says, "What are you guys doing? Your forefathers played this game with God, and he let them die in the desert. You sure you want to play this?" "Just as we heeded Moses in all things," is that true? "No. So we will heed you." I wonder if Joshua went, "Yeah, thanks a lot." "Only," here comes their criteria, "we will, if the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." At first glance, it looks like a pretty good deal. What are they really saying? "We're all in, Joshua, as long as we feel like God is with you." Now, is that what they promised they would do in Numbers 32? What would be their criteria? That they should maybe stand with God's leader Joshua, or they can pull their devotion and commitment. Do you see the danger of following godly leaders based on feelings versus God's word? That's a dangerous place to be, because when I don't feel it anymore, then I can just quit and I can go back to Gadara and start my pig industry one more time. That's enough of the story tonight. We did it. We got through Joshua chapter 1 tonight. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Lord. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to the promised land. Whee! Oh, by the way, says the Lord to Joshua, tell the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh not to forget what they promised. And then the Gadites, the Reubenites, they said, we have done everything Moses has asked of us. We agreed with him in all things. And I bet that they believed that. But the truth of the matter is, nope. They didn't want to go into the promised land. And before we cluck our tongue or shake our finger at those guys, knowing that from history, looking back, practically all of Israel's enemies steamrolled right through a bunch of people, not in the promised land, but living kind of along the border. That seems to be the way even now. That for those trying to live in the promised land, God's fullness of the Spirit, the enemy sometimes rolls right through another believer, a brother or a sister that says or does or whatever. And at first I'm all, what? We shouldn't be surprised. Because modeled here in the book of Joshua, that's where the enemy typically always rolls through. Christians, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, baptized in the Red Sea, but they don't want to go over the Jordan. And is it possible that there in Gadara, they've kind of given up the pursuits of really trying to follow God? In fact, they're developing a pig industry. And they have no idea that the demonic is running roughshod over them. No wonder they're an open door very often to those that are trying to live in the promised land. Well, what do we do about that, Pastor Steve? Here's what we do. Word, worship, pray, and fellowship. We're not shocked. Here's what my wife likes to say. A brother or sister comes newly into my life, and boy, are they shiny. Boy, do they say the right stuff. And my wife says to me, Steve, don't fall in love too quickly. See how they do with fruit over time. Do they mutter a lot God's word? Or do they just mutter against people and leadership and pastors? What a powerful image here. The Gadites and the Reubenites and the half-tribe of Manasseh were a wide-open door for the enemies of God's people. Let us not be surprised, Lord, if some of our biggest punches to the solar plexus, spiritually speaking, came from a brother or a sister. We shouldn't lose our perspective and go screaming and crying out of the promised land. It's right here in model form for us. What we do is we try to get smarter. We try to ask God, Lord, for your direction and your hedge of protection. And Lord, with your grace, we'll watch fruit over time and not be impressed by talent or resume. But we'll take the slow road. How does this brother or sister behave when the pressure is on or when they think that nobody's looking? Then, O God, may you continue to strengthen harvest for whatever the Spirit of God is going to do in this valley or through this little church. We're not going to be blown up by people that we have invited deep into our lives and hearts, only to find that they're Gadites in the pig industry. Amen?
You've been listening to the Book of Joshua with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding the powerful and crucial principle of living in the Spirit-filled life. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.